The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the season opening show for the Sprint Car Show for the 2013 campaign. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with National Sprint Car Hall of Famer Brad Doty and the voice of Paris Auto Speedway, Mr. Scott Bellocchio. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. And by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Bad Chad Layton. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Our pleasure to be joined once again by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee and 11-time winner of the World of Outlaw Tour from Ohio, Mr. Brad Doty. Brad, always a pleasure to talk with you, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Sure thing. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, with the way this winter is going here in the Northeast and Ohio, we might be have them putting sleds on the bottom of these sprint cars before we get racing this year.
Well, especially you people out there in Pennsylvania, starting in, what, February, you guys start earlier than anywhere, and I guess, well, there's been years they've had to do that, scrape the snow off the track to go racing, but obviously the Outlaws and everybody, you know, heading south are going to be starting here in Florida in just a few weeks.
Yeah, February the 15th, Volusia, the opening night for the World of Outlaw Sprint Car Series. Let me correct myself, the World of Outlaw STP Sprint Cars. We'll have to get used to saying that as well. Yeah. Brad, as you look back on last year and you look at the very first half of the season, Sammy's winning, Steve's winning, Donnie's winning, and it seemed as though it was one of those types of years where nobody held on to that top spot for all that long of a period. What were your thoughts as that first half of the year was unfolding as to who could emerge as a potential front runner to capture last year's championship?
Boy, it was wide open, wasn't it? It was exciting. You know, unlike a couple years before where, you know, it kind of came down to the last weekend, you know, shots kind of took off there late in the year to lock up the point deal, but most people didn't even count him in the equation early on. You know, he started out kind of early for good, and then he just went into a lull that he admitted himself, you know, was horrible. I mean, they were at each other's throats, the crew, the team, everybody struggling. And they dug in and they worked together. They didn't give up and turned it around. But I'd say probably the most disappointing guy has to be Sammy Swindell. Love him or hate him, you know, he had the most wins and, you know, set the bar. And I think, I mean, laps led, you know, all the stats, he was at the top except for the points championship, which matters most, you know, and just had some problems and some issues. Steve was really good early on, looked like he could win the thing, and boy, the bottom fell out for him the last half of the year. And, hey, as they say, that's racing, you know, but it made for, in my opinion, for a really good and exciting season.
Sammy ended up with 13 wins. He also had 14 quick times on the year. And when you, if you didn't show somebody the points and you show them that number of stats, Donnie with 11 wins, Steve with 4, you would have thought, well, geez, 13 wins should equate to a championship, but it didn't for Sammy. So how much hungrier do you think he'll be coming up here in 2013 for another World of Outlaw title?
I really don't know. It's so hard to get a read on him. As you know, he shows so much emotion. that was a joke for those that don't know. So it's very hard to get a read on him. You know, last year, he kept saying, well, I don't know, you know, when it was early in the season and even a third, maybe up to the, you know, maybe even half the season, he was still saying, well, I'm not sure we're going to stay out here. I'm not sure we're going to run the whole deal. I'm not, you know, we're just going to play it by ear and go race to race. So, you know, he was doing that even pretty much last year. So I really don't know what their plans are. You know, he's in the position where he claims it's not that important to him to win another championship. I think deep down, for anybody, it is. I mean, to be a, you know, one-time champion is one thing, you know, but I think that would what be here I am battling my stat. I think he's got two at least, if not three. But I'll leave that up to the stats guys to look that up. But anyway, I'm sure another one would be important to him is my point, whether he downplays it or not. But then again, if he starts out and he struggles and he's not running that well, or he does fall pretty deep in the points, he has the luxury and you know, the car owner stuff to say, hey, let's just go race. You know, let's just, we don't have to run, you know, and kill ourselves running up and down the highway and hitting every race. Let's just pick and choose. And so he does have that option. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to see how the season plays out.
And I have to think, coming off of another Chili Bowl where his son Kevin's now won four straight, and of course he's building those chassis for the Chili Bowl and getting the cars ready, that's going to be a part of a motivation to go out there and win and prove to the kid he can still do it. But also, he and Steve not making the Knoxville Nationals this year. I mean, as a driver yourself back in your day, I would think that would be huge motivation if you didn't make it. I mean, yeah, it's a new format this year around, but the fact that you missed the biggest race of the year, the Super Bowl for the sprint cars, I would think that would itself would be a lot of extra motivation for Sammy.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is. That had to be a big blow for those guys, for anybody, but especially those two, you know, the icons of the sport. And but then the same thing, he turned right around and won the next race or two that he was in, you know, Outlaws race. So, but that just goes to show that, especially in racing, you know, I've had people, producers, you know, really pushing me to make a prediction on who's going to win on any given night. And I almost laugh out loud. You know, if these guys are out there running around in their sneakers, I'd be more apt to bet on one, quote, guy. But when you throw in a machine, a race car that can break or have a flat tire, as Sammy knows, or anything can go wrong, how do you predict a winner? Yes, there's, you know, you have favorites or people that, you know, more inclined to win or you know, have a proven record, but anything can happen on any given night. And you know, if the luck goes their, you know, their way, they can win anything. And things, everything that could go against both of them, it seemed like did at Knoxville last year.
And what was your overall take on Knoxville and the new procedures that they came up with?
I liked it myself. I thought it really added a lot to the Friday night program. You know, Dale Blaney loved it, you know, so he would have been buried deep in the alphabet somewhere and ends up making the main. So I personally liked it. I hope they stay with it. And from the feedback and most of the stuff that I've heard, sound like the majority of people also liked it.
And of course, it was after shots won that really turned everything around for those guys. And that's when he went on that, you know, consistency tear in the second half. And I wonder how much of that was just inner motivation to get things turned around for that racing team.
You know, I'm asked a lot of times, you know, what makes a driver so good at a certain racetrack. And I've written even a column about that myself. I had a couple, Ascot was really good to me. And I don't know why, but you do, you know, why it was so good to me. But I do know that you, when you win a few races at a certain place, you do go in there with a confidence level. But it goes back to that confidence can only go so far. You still have a machine that's got to be close, you know. It can't break on you. You can't have a blown tire. And, yes, Schatz has all the confidence in the world, and he should going into Knoxville with his record. And just like Kevin Swindell or even the Swindells at the Chili Bowl, it's almost impossible to put your finger on why. You can call it the racing gods are on their side. You know, they're just plain lucky. Whatever it is, there's a magic with Donnie Schatz and that team at Knoxville, just like the Swindells at the Chili Bowl. And, boy, if you could bottle it and sell it, you could be rich. You could just figure it out. But you know, and that, but yes, to answer your question, to win Knoxville Nationals again. May, I mean, they were starting to turn things around anyway, Shots was, but to that could have just been enough confidence builder that, hey, look, guys, as a team, look what we can do. You know, we can still do this thing. Let's go out and prove it. And, boy, they did.
We're talking with National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee Brad Doty. And, of course, coming up on July the 10th at Lima Land Motorsports Park in Lima, Ohio, it will be the Brad Doty Classic once again. And not only is there always excitement for that race, but as you and I were talking off the air, there was a tweet on Twitter about it from a fan out here in central Pennsylvania that got your attention. That had to be pretty neat to see the Rabbit fans out here talking about your race in July.
Yeah, already. I think they said it was 173 days counting down to the Brad Doty Classic, you know, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool that, you know, people are thinking about it that far in advance. And we're fortunate. We do get a lot of fans from out your way that come into the event. And, I mean, it's grown over the years. And we had a lot of Australians last year for the first time even. So it's turned into a, quote, an event. And, boy, I'm so proud of that. But yeah, that tweet kind of got me perked up. And I do, I'm on Twitter, and I do use it. And I've used it for my book promotion and places I was going to be signing books. And that's, I just did a recent column for Sprint Car Midget. My next column actually will be on that. I talk about, you know, when I first got on Twitter, it was to help promote the book and then also to help, you know, got involved with getting the word out about the race. And it's a different time right now. This, you know, it's instant, you know, information for people. And we're going to try to use it, you know, as best we can.
Yeah, it is. It's a very unique and useful tool, but at the same time, it can also come back to haunt you, as we saw a driver down in Australia write about a call that was made by officials, and their officiating and the way we officiate over here are a bit different. And because of the kind words that he said about the officials in general, he was told to pack his stuff up and head home. He was disqualified from the national championship event, and I had never heard of that before, that you can go out and voice your expression. And what he didn't single out an individual, it was just the overall officiating. And now Brad, in the years that you've raced, I mean, how many times have we seen Steve and Sammy go after each other and get in the official's face, or even Jack Hewitt for that matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah, absolutely. I did read a little bit about that. I didn't go into it real deep to see exactly what happened, but my first thoughts were, what happened to freedom of speech type of thing. But I do know that some of the professional sports, well, I don't say I know, but from what I understand, I guess is a better way to put it, you know, there's been players fined for tweeting things about, you know, their coach or team or whatever it may be. Now, maybe, you know, that's, you could argue is different because they're under contract. They've signed a contract. So if it's written in the contract that you can't say anything negative, then they can be fined. But for racing where you just buy a pit pass, and as far as I know, no type of contract saying that you can't state your mind, boy, that definitely opens a can of worms when you get, you know, blackballed from a sport or from any because of something you said. So it'll be real interesting, won't it, to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, it definitely will. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out over here if that were to happen here in the States. That would be really interesting to see what happens if somebody doesn't like a call. And, I mean, we've already seen it from crew members and wives of drivers already out there on Twitter. You know, how far does the arm of a racetrack reach to say, oh, we don't like what you said, you know, stay home for a week or two, and then how does that hurt your fan base? How does that affect what drivers are going to think if you're going to say, don't bother coming back because you said something bad about us? Boy, that could open up Pandora's box to levels we may not even want to think about.
Yeah, I guess, my gut feeling or my personal feeling is that basically, you gotta be able to say whatever you want, you know, and you don't have, you know, the track doesn't have to like it, but as long as you're not physically hurting someone, pushing and shoving an official or something like that, obviously is a whole different deal.
Oh yeah.
You know? So, I guess I didn't delve into it to see the specifics of it, but from what I'm hearing, what I've been told and stuff, I wouldn't agree with that at all, that you ban someone for something they've tweeted or or said publicly.
Yeah, it's I saw a headline the other day that says Facebook causes misery. I thought, how true.
Yeah.
I use it to promote our shows. I use it to promote what we're doing. If we have a live streaming audio broadcast coming up, or if we're going to be somewhere to do a tape delayed show. But that's it. I don't get on, and you know, I have my cousins on there. I say hello. I chat with my friends. I don't go on there and use it for anything else, but it's a free tool for advertising, and that's how I look at it.
Yeah, well, how and why I got on Twitter. I don't do Facebook, but Twitter's the same thing. And I don't know the laws and rules. I've always been a little confused by slander, you know, and how that works, and how some people get sued and lose or win depending on what side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
A slander case. So, you know, I'm not smart enough to look in, understand all that. Never looked into it. So, you know, back to the driver in Australia, you know, whether he was slandering the track or, again, that just is a big can of worms. You know, it could be ugly.
That it could be. Now, let's turn our attention and take a look at the upcoming World Outlaw STP Sprint Car season and a driver that is coming back to the tour and who has had success here in Central Pennsylvania is Darren Pittman. Your thoughts on him joining up with the Casey Kane Racing team?
Well, I don't want to say I have to be careful, but you know, I think it's safe to say that most any sprint car driver out there, especially a quote professional sprint car driver, on the World of Outlaws tour, whether you like whether the politics, whether throw any of that aside, whether you like the World of Outlaws or you don't, it's kind of like the Australia thing. Whether you do or don't like their officiating at times or their rules or whatever it may be, it's still the elite 410 wing sprint car series in the world. And most sprint car drivers want to be out there. And I'm pretty sure Darren did. And the ride he had in Pennsylvania was obviously a great ride. He was making a good living. And he may ultimately make more money. He made more money there than he could on the Outlaws if things don't go well. But I'm pretty sure he had a burning desire to get back with the World of Outlaws, and now it's his chance. So, you know, hope he can make the best of it. And, you know, I think everybody parted on good terms over there, and he was grateful for the Hefner people for the ride that he had. And you know, you and I both know that the car owners are dropping by the wayside, and there are not a lot of good ones left. I'm glad that Joey Saldana, who obviously left the Casey Kane ride, he was able to find a ride, and he's going to be back on the Outlaws tour. So, kind of gain a team, I guess you could say, for the World of Outlaws. So it's a plus for them.
Darren, of course, had some great success with wins here in Central Pennsylvania. Another guy who was having success last year and was in the thick of things for most of the season, maybe as a under the radar, but then came on late, was Craig Delansky. How do you see those guys stacking up for the upcoming season?
DJ Lindsay, the crew chief for Craig Delansky, they've been together a long time now. They were together on and off for years, and they got back together, and I think they both realized that you look at the successful teams at the World of Outlaws level, the consistently winners and at the top have been together, the crew chief and driver. They've been together, kind of running the same type of stuff as cars and equipment, and they stay together, and they fine-tune what they had. And I think DJ Lindsay and Craig Delansky are both at that point. I mean, he was actually leading the points, went to Lernerville and was leading and had a tire go down. And the very next weekend, he goes out to Williamsgrove there, and he's leading it and gets taken out by a lap car. So those two races right there, it was the start of the downfall, and that was pretty late in the season. And so, yeah, I expect him to be back in the thick of things and be quite honest. I mean, I shouldn't probably admit this publicly, but for a guy like Craig or anybody to be a first-time champion would be good for the sport, and especially those that have been out there, you know, banging their head against the wall for many years trying to get it done. So it would be a great story if a guy like him could win his first championship.
I think it's well put, because it's nothing against watching the same guy win year in and year out. It is the ability to, as you just said, learn and see what they're doing to emulate those champions and try to make yourself better that you can eventually unfold. Because it's true what you said earlier in our conversation. On any given night, at any given racetrack, anybody can win. You know, we saw that with Logan Schuchart, Bobby Allen's grandson, coming up and beating the All-Stars on the first night that he was racing against them at Williams Grove. So there's talent out there. And, yeah, I know fans are like, well, geez, it's the Swindells are taking over the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals, or Donnie Schatz and Tony Stewart Racing are winning again. But it's because they put themselves in a position to win, and everybody else has to find a way to make that happen as well. So I don't think there's anything wrong with your statement. If there is a first-time winner, or if we go 5 or 6 years with a different winner, it's good for the sport as long as the fans keep coming back, because that's what they're attracted to seeing, is the best 410 wing traveling sprint car racers in the country. And I think that's what the bottom line there really has to be all about when you boil everything down. So whether it's Donnie winning another championship, Sammy winning, Steve getting his 21st, Pittman making a run for it, as long as at the end of the year the fans keep coming back and keep supporting it for the World of Outlaw STP Sprint Car Series, I think that's what's the best for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I've always been the guy to tend to root for the underdog, and just like Dietrich beating Outlaws at Lincoln, you know what I mean? If you scripted that story, it might not be believable, kind of thing, you know. And but again, it's good for the sport. Now, look at all the years Steve dominated and won, you know, 10 in a row out east, and you know, the crowd still came. I mean, they want to come and see. So it's good, you know. It's good because, in one sense, people want to, they'll come and pay because they want to see the king of the hill get knocked off. You know, they want to see somebody beat him. So that helps sell tickets. You know, hoping that somebody, and then when, like in Dietrich's case, or somebody pulls out a win, boy, the talk. Everybody, you know, everybody's excited, and to me, it's really good. Just good for the sport, and you got to have rivalries, good guys and bad guys, and so if somebody dominates for a while, hopefully, like I said, the fans will keep coming back to see who's going to be the first one and knock them off the pedestal.
Well, obviously, as you mentioned before, Brad, fans are already looking forward to the Brad Doty Classic on July the 10th at Lyman Land Motorsports Park. Anything you can tell us at this particular time in terms of when tickets will go on sale, how fans can get in touch with the track in order to purchase tickets, and anything happening out of the ordinary that you guys might be working on that you might be able to hint about but not truly tell us everything for that July 10th race?
Well, they can go to limaland.com, limaland.com, or follow on Twitter at limaland, or they can even follow me. Heck, it's pretty easy. It's at Brad Doty 18. Tickets should be on sale within a few weeks. And this will be the 25th anniversary, our silver anniversary event. And so we're working on trying to do some sort of special trophy. We don't know at this point, but you know, we got all kinds of things running through our heads that, you know, we want to try to make this something a little different, something special. I mean, it is the 25th anniversary race. So, you know, it's hard to believe it's been that long, but, you know, I'm pretty excited about this season and this year's race. And so anybody out your way interested, you know, I'll go back. It's kind of like a Ohio Speed Week again. It's they can go to the Lou Blaney Memorial on Tuesday night up at Sharon. Our race is on Wednesday, July 10th. As you said, we have a rain date on Thursday, July 11th, that hopefully we won't need. And, of course, the King's Royal weekend down at Eldora the following weekend. So any travelers, people out your way, or anybody listening on the Internet can come any distance. You can come in and see a lot of racing in 1 week right here in Ohio.
That's for sure. And it's going to be, as you and I were talking, we're both going to be very busy this year. So,
yeah.
But we'll put
to get started.
I'm ready to roll and everything. So, but like I said, hopefully we won't need to put the sleds underneath the sprint cars just yet. But we'll see what Mother Nature has in store for us, because it won't be long before Lincoln has their icebreaker the last Saturday of February down Lincoln Speedway in Abbottstown. Interesting to see whether or not we're shoveling snow and having snowball fights with each other, or we're standing around in shorts as the weather can change so quickly here in the Northeast. Well, Brad, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. And we look forward to talking to you throughout the year and get your thoughts on the World of Outlaw STP Sprint Car Series Tour for 2013.
All right, Sean. Well, thanks for having me on and asking me my opinion. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Hall of Famer Brad Doty joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more right after this.
Championship race teams like Donnie Schatz depend on quality parts to make it through a season. That's why they and other champions rely on Rod Ends from Rod End Supply.
Hi, this is Bob Douglas, and for 23 years, we have been delivering the best quality rod ends on the market with on-time deliveries and customer service second to none, and this philosophy will continue.
To learn more about Rod End Supply, call them toll-free at 1-800-284-2902 or visit them online at rodendsupply.com. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Hi, this is Nicole Bauer. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on DirtTrackChallenge.com. We head out to the West Coast. As you know, we cover both winged and non-winged sprint car racing. Pleasure as always to bring in our good friend, the voice of Paris Auto Speedway, Mr. Scott Delosio. Scott, always a pleasure. Welcome to the first broadcast of the season.
Oh, very good to hear from you, Sean. I always like talking to you, talking about open wheel racing.
Yeah, and of course, this time you and I both coming from the cold climates here in the Midwest and the eastern part of the country, respectively. I'm sure it's nice and sunny out there in sunny Southern California these days.
Well, we had what I call, you know, I'm from Michigan, but we had what I call California cold. Today the high was about 59 degrees. And you see, when it gets down like that out here and you see people walking around with scarves and gloves and hats, it's like, man, you guys, you don't know how lucky you have it.
Very true. I was reminiscing with a friend of mine from high school the other day, the winter of 1983. We used up so many snow days here in the East that our second day off from school that year was the 4th of July.
The year I graduated from high school in Detroit, they had a teacher strike that ran through late October.
Wow.
So we did not get a Christmas vacation. We did not get a spring vacation. And I graduated July 17th.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, that was... I mean, all that extra time off, you know, from the vacation of 1973 was nice, but boy, we sure made up for it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, of course, here in the East, if we do see 50-degree days this time of the year, it's usually that January thaw. But right now, we are in countdown mode as the season opener at the Lincoln Speedway is not that far away for the 410 sprint cars. And, of course, the USAC CRA sprint car season gets underway on March the 1st. And it concludes at Paris Auto Speedway on November the 2nd as part of the Oval Nationals. So the question has to be asked, who is going to have what it takes to knock off Ron Chafin and Mike Spencer and the phenomenal run those guys are enjoying at the Paris Auto Speedway at this moment?
Well, you throw in a great race car driver like that, and Mike is a great race car driver at only 31 years of age. I mean, right now, National Sprint Car Hall of Famer when it's all said and done, which is probably not going to be for another 20 years. Ron Chafin, the car owner, same with him. But you've also got to remember the crew chief in there. Bruce Bromby Jr. is already in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. When we have a race at the pass and, you know, Mike's running fourth or fifth or sixth, you know, we're halfway through the race and there's a red flag, it's like that's bad news for everybody else in the field because maybe he wasn't going to go much further than two more spots. But once Bruce Bromby touches the car, that's the key in the press box. Everybody said Mike just won the race because they got the red flag and Bruce is going to go wrench on the car now.
When you look back at last year, Scott, in terms of a surprise, a dark horse, so to speak, who was one of the surprising drivers of the season there at Paris Auto Speedway?
You know, it's so hard to say because Mike Spencer dominated so much. I mean, there's some really good drivers out here. You know, kids like Nick Foss. You know, Nick Foss, a fast race car driver, and he's got a good car. But, man, you've got that 50 car. He's just so dominant. Brody Rowe, I guess that would be the kid, his first full season of 410s and finished third in the points last year. His family, they've been racing sprint cars. His dad raced. Other members of the family raced back into the 70s or the 60s. And Brody just turned, I believe, 21 years old, won a race last year at Kokopa Speedway in Yuma in the series. And finished third overall, so he's a good up-and-coming driver. A heck of a go-kart racer, too. A lot of people don't realize that. And, in fact, he is teaching Paige Johnson how to drive go-karts.
Oh, wow. That's saying something when you're teaching that young man's kid.
Exactly.
That's definitely saying something. So outside of him and outside of Mike, who are some other big names that could possibly make some noise throughout the season at Paris?
I think the three guys I would think of, besides the ones we just mentioned, Austin Williams, that's Rip Williams' middle son, is really coming on strong. He's won one race the last 2 years, each season, I should say, in the USAC CRA Series. Both of those have been at Santa Maria. David Carty, Dynamite David Carty, is going to race the full season for Moose Racing out of Huntington Beach. That's Lori and Tom Sertich, who, man, they've owned race cars for a lot of years. And they were, once they put David in that car last year, that car was really fast, really fast. So look for him to win some mains this year. And if they do decide to run the whole series, which I think they're going to, I'm not 100% sure on that, they'll be contenders. And also a healthy Matt Mitchell. You know, Matt Mitchell's not as scared of the throttle pedal at all. And he got hurt at Terre Haute during Indiana Sprint Week, which knocked him out for the rest of the season last year. But he's a guy you got to contend with. And I can't leave out Ryan Bernal. I'm not sure what his schedule is this year. He won two or three races in the USAC CRA Series last year driving for Josh Ford Motorsports. And if he decides to stick around and run the series, you can't count that kid out either.
You mentioned Austin Williams. What similarities do you see between him and his legendary father, Rip Williams, in terms of on-the-track performance?
He's more like Rip than his brother, his older brother, Cody. Cody seems a little more relaxed in the race car. I guess that's not quite the right word. I would say Austin's more aggressive like his father is. Cody's more analytical in the race car. You know, he waits for stuff to happen more, where Austin's more, you know, he's going to go out and get it. If it takes banging wheels of somebody, he's going to do it, just like his dad.
You would expect that out of a guy that comes from that family background there. Rip Williams, one of the all-time greats when it comes to sprint car racing. We're talking with Scott Delosio, the voice of the Paris Auto Speedway. As we mentioned, the upcoming season, February 23rd, is going to be an open practice. What is on the docket, Scott, for the fans to enjoy this year at the Paris Auto Speedway?
Well, they could come out February 23rd and start checking it out then. Open practice means it's open for everything. Free for fans in the grandstands. We'll have stock cars out there. We'll have modifieds, and we'll have sprint cars, and hopefully, because of Turkey Night, we'll have some midgets out there. Then we start the season the following week. That's March 2nd with our stock car shows. And we've got this deal that came about last year, not to get off on the stock car too often, but Lone Mark got involved with our series last year. And we had a stock car show at the end of the year, a street stock race, where the guy who won both nights won $7,000. So that has really upped that part of the show. Our CRA shows, they start March 9th, and they're there basically once a month. I think in July they come in twice, June or July it is. Besides that, they come in once a month until the end of the year at the Oval Nationals, when they race the final two nights of the series there.
And I understand the Oval Nationals will be back to three nights this year for 2013?
Yeah, exactly. It kind of just came as a surprise to everybody. We went back to two nights last year, and nobody on our end was that excited about it, but financially, with the difference in the purse that had to be paid for all the shows, we did have to go back to two nights. But Don Kazarian pulled on his thinking cap and decided this year to run a 360 show. The opening night of the Oval Nationals will be a challenge between the new USAC Southwestern Sprint Car Series and the West Coast 360 Series.
And then, speaking of the 360s, there was a press release out not long ago, a new 360 sprint car division there formed at Speedway. Tell fans what they can expect to see from that division in this upcoming season.
Well, you know, we've had guys come on. I mean, it happens everywhere in the country. You see people come out with good intentions, wanting to run hard when they're kind of young. And, you know, we've had guys like that who come out, and basically they got to race the CRA series. And it's throwing some of these kids to the lions when they're too young and they're not ready for it. And they'll race two or three races or maybe a whole year, and you never hear from them again because they just get shredded racing against the superstars of that series. So this year, Don Kazarian, the promoter, decided to start a new series. Basically, the only rule besides safety rules is a 360 cast iron block. It's for drivers 14 to 21 years of age. they're going to race against each other. I think they run a 12-lap main off the top of my head. I'm not sure on that number. They're going to run a heat race each night. It's all done by pill draw. It's all for trophies. And it's to get these guys on the racetrack and let them build up some of their confidence before they have to go up against the superstars. And actually, you know, I've heard from two people today who want to come run it. So I'm not sure how many cars we're going to have. I think it's going to be a few more than what Don was originally thinking. And we just talked about Rip Williams. He's got a kid now, his youngest son, I believe Logan, is going to be 17 years old, so we may see him running that series as well.
Another big event coming up in April, the World of Outlaws, the winged sprint cars head back to Paris as part of the California tour they have in the early portion of the season. How would you describe a winged outlaw race to the fans who have never seen one before at Paris Auto Speedway?
If you've seen a 410 race without a wing at Paris Auto Speedway, you're going to see a car going around there like 2 seconds faster. And you know, that may not sound like a lot, but when you look at it, the speed just blows you away. It's amazing how fast those guys get around the racetrack. We hadn't had the Outlaws there in like 5 years, so they came back last year, and it was a huge success. And a lot of, and I'm sure other people around the country can tell you the same thing, especially, you know, people like Indiana and that area. A lot of our 410 sprint car fans who are USAC CRA fans don't come out for the Outlaws because they don't like wings. This Southern California is not wing country. They have never liked wings out here, but we get a lot of other fans who don't come to our regular sprint car races because, you know, they're not into it that much, but they're into the world of Outlaws because they've heard the Outlaws and know the mystique of the Outlaws. And they only come to town once a year, so that's their only Southern Cal, Greater Los Angeles appearance is going to be that night. So it's, you want to see the world's fastest sprint cars, and you don't want to drive 150, 200 miles, and you live in the greater L.A. area. It's your only time this year to see them.
And isn't that so true also about Central Pennsylvania? They love their wings sprint cars, and yet we do have USAC when the national tour come for 4 nights. And it's pretty well attended, but it's still a novelty each and every year. But there are some people that just won't go and see the non-wing boys. They love their wing stuff, and they don't want to.
Exactly.
Isn't that funny how the two different sides of the sprint car world actually live almost somewhat separately at times when the other invades the other's territory?
You know, being out here, when I lived in the Midwest, we went to 50, 60 races a year, but they were all pavement stock cars. My dad didn't like open-wheel cars. I moved out here, and when I first started watching sprint cars, you know, it was the old CRA series without wings. And I prefer sprint cars without wings, but still, you know, sprint car race is sprint car race. They got wings on them. I'm going to go watch those as well.
Yep. And you mentioned a little bit while ago the midgets coming up. Hopefully maybe some will pop by on your open practice there on February the 23rd. The Turkey Night Grand Prix back on dirt. From all reports, it was a very successful time last year. It'll be back for 2013 and 2014. What does it mean to the greater Los Angeles area to have that Turkey Night race back on dirt?
I think more than the greater Los Angeles area to have that race back on dirt. Turkey Night belongs on dirt. I mean, Turkey Night, I moved out here in 1974, and the first Turkey Night I saw was 1975, which was on the pavement at Speedway 605 in Irwindale, which is right across the street from where the Irwindale Speedway is now. The only reason it was there was because Ascot got padlocked by the landowner, the promoter who was there. He locked him out because he hadn't paid his bills. So they had to have it somewhere, so Aggie moved it to Irwindale. And then in 1976, Aggie got the lease on Ascot, and it was back on dirt, you know, up until Ascot closed in 90. I think they ran Saugus one or two times, and then in 1999 it went to Irwindale and had been there until last year. Well, last year, just the amount of enthusiasm for that race, just the fact that it was being back on dirt was absolutely amazing. We had 61 cars. We only had, I think it was 3 months to, you know, announce it that was going to be. I think this year we'll see 80 cars there. And it's a great show. And, I mean, it was more than just a race. I mean, it was emotional for everybody involved. That race, it's sacred out here. It's absolutely sacred out here. And when it came back to dirt, it was like the World Series, the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup Finals all rolled into one.
Now, the press release said it would be for this year and next year on dirt. Is that leaving the door open that it could go back to asphalt, or are they wanting to see how this progresses over the next couple of years before deciding if they're going to keep it on the dirt for an extended period of time?
You know, I asked the same question to Don Kazarian when I talked to him after it was announced it was only going to be, you know, it's a two-year deal. And he said to me, he goes, I pushed them and said, can we do it for 2 years? And the Agajanians, they looked at each other and said, we've never had a contract for this race for longer than 1 year.
Hmm.
So they went away and talked about it and called them back, you know, the next day or a couple days later and said, yeah, we'll give you that contract for 2 years. Who knows? Down the line, they may decide to move it back to pavement. I don't know. I don't think they will. They were ecstatic about the way things went last year at Paris Auto Speedway. And saying Paris Auto Speedway, that's part of it. But also dirt was such a huge part to bring it back. Chase Agajanian Jr., you know, when I talked to him for a press release when the announcement was made that it was coming back, he said just walking into that place on that night was like walking back into Ascot.
Hmm.
And it was. I mean, Paris Auto Speedway is the Ascot of the modern day. And Turkey Night was the race at Ascot. And to have it back on dirt, it just brought so many memories for so many people. And so much, like I say, so much excitement and so much enthusiasm. I think this year, we've got a year to plan this race. You know, we've had a year to plan this race since the announcement was made. So it's going to be bigger and better than it was last year, and probably the same in 2014.
Well, hopefully it will be on dirt for quite some time to come, because I remember watching it on ESPN some years ago. Always an exciting race to watch. And that and the fact that USAC is bringing the midgets back to Belleville, a good thing for those of us who are also midget fans coming up here in 2013. Scott, as always, we greatly appreciate your time. Again, open practice February the 23rd. CRA kicks off on March the 9th with their first race of the year, the new 360 sprint car class, the Oval Nationals back to 3 days, Turkey Night Grand Prix, the World of Outlaws, all right at the Paris Auto Speedway. And of course, we'll have to wait and see if anybody has anything for Ron Chafin and the gang and Mike Spencer, if they can dethrone the reigning champions. But we'll be talking with Scott throughout the year and be kept up to date as to what's all happening on the action out there on the dirt at the Paris Auto Speedway. Scott, always a pleasure, and have a safe season out there in sunny Southern California.
You too, Sean. Enjoy it back there when you guys get started, and hopefully we'll see you out here before the season ends this season.
Yep, we're working on that, so we're looking forward to it at some point during the season. Scott Delosio, the voice of the Paris Auto Speedway, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.